The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Coming up, we got to switch gears a little bit as we get set to bring in Dalton Brong and Associates, the optometrist. It's all about Myopia Awareness Week. We have a guest, Andrea Carter and Mrs. Jaya Lakshmi Tilak. They are both optometrists and they're here to join us as well. Dr. Dean. Brittany?
Yes. Hello. Yes, I'm waiting for the optometrists to come on so we can have a good conversation.
They are on already.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Hi, yes, we're here.
Yes. So we are talking about Myopia Awareness Week today. So can you share a little bit with the listeners what exactly is myopia and what is Myopia Awareness Week?
So Myopia Management Month is basically a really great initiative to be able to raise the awareness about the importance of managing nearsightedness, also known as myopia, especially among school-age children and young adults. So basically, myopia or nearsightedness is becoming more and more prevalent, and we are seeing this within our practice environment on a daily basis, especially since the world have taken a bit of a thinness, especially in technological age now, introduced after COVID. So, you know, if we had 5 patients show up previously before COVID, we would have seen maybe 2 of those 5 kids needing glasses. But now it would have increased to all 5 of those children having glasses. So it's very, very crucial to educate the public, be it whether it's the grandparents, your parents, or babysitters and so, about what is really myopia and what are the signs that they need to look out for, especially with these very young school-age children.
Great. And are there any causes of myopia that you can share with us?
Yes, there are. So basically, it could be due to genetics. Like, for example, if they are one parent or two parents, it actually determines the percentage of myopia inheritance that they can actually get. So, for example, in some studies would have shown that if one parent was myopic, then they probably would have had at least 2 times likelihood of developing the myopia. Versus if both parents are, then, you know, they may have at least 4 to 5 times increased prevalence of getting that myopia. So parents who are aware that, you know, they are unable to see things at distance, or that, you know, they are indeed myopic, where, you know, seeing things at near seems to be fine, but distantly it's a bit compromised, then do have your kids come in to the optometrist and have their eyes checked out. Apart from genetics, we have a lot of environmental factors. So like I just would have mentioned, a lot of near work can actually encourage a child to become very short-sighted. So prolonged engagement in activities that require close-up focusing, such as reading, usage of electronic devices, and even studying, is associated with a higher risk of myopia. Ms. Carter, you want to add to that list?
Oh, all right. So also, less time outdoors. So in this day and age, you know, the kids are really on the devices, so the phone, tablets, and all those things. So they barely spend any time outdoors at all. So this lack of exposure to sunlight as well would also cause them to become short-sighted or become myopic as well.
So even their lighting condition, so like for example, if they have low levels of natural light indoors, that would also contribute to myopia development. I know a lot of the time parents, grandparents, you know, the easiest thing to do for their kids when they come home from school is just to give them a device, or maybe on weekends to leave them unattended for some periods of time. But there are some parental controls, and maybe they can put things into place where they limit that device time. And that's maybe some options that we could probably discuss at another session. But all of these things do contribute to the child becoming more and more short-sighted.
or even if they just really need a break, sometimes maybe the television might be a little bit of a better option because that's further from their eyes as opposed to having the phone or the tablet, which is directly in front of them and closer, which induces the myopia.
Thank you. And can you explain what are exactly the risk factors associated with becoming myopic?
So the risk factors would be about the same thing, which would be excessive near work. So engaging in activities that require a lot of near focusing. So same thing with the phone or the tablet, all those things would be a huge risk factor for developing myopia. Especially for kids at this impressionable age, their eyes are still growing and it doesn't stabilize until about the age between 18 to 21. So at this age, it's the point where we really want to just take action to really try and slow the progression of that myopia. Other risk factors would be, like I said, lack of outdoor activities. So they're not outside there getting the sunlight that they require to try and slow the progression of that myopia. As well as Mr. Locke would have mentioned, the genetic predisposition of that, where if the parents have it, then there's a very high chance that the kids will get it as well.
Thank you. And how does myopia really impact the vision and the overall health of a child?
So just to kind of understand in terms of what happens with myopia, that's basically a refractive error where the light rays actually focus in front of the retina instead of on the retina, and that results in blurred vision. So how it actually happens, you know, the child would start seeing things very blurred. You know, they are unable to see the board at school. You know, they might be a little bit quicker with reading versus if they have to do some sort of work at school, they might want to copy from their friends' books or things like that. You know, they might walk up very close to the television. They might be rubbing their eyes. You know, they might be complaining of a lot of different symptoms.
Squinting
as well. That's a very, very common one. And, you know, sometimes parents will come in and they'll be like, you know, but my child have really good eyesight. You know, the teacher just give me a form or tell me to bring my child in for an eye test. And when they actually come in and they sit on the chair and then we put up the letters for them to read,
They can't even read the largest letter
on the screen. And, you know, then the parents will turn to the child and be like, I never knew that you couldn't see. So imagine walking around and you are unable to see things. And imagine that that child is thinking that that is really their new, that is their normal.
Yeah.
But then when they get these glasses now, then everything comes into focus. Everything, colors look brighter, people looked much more clearer and more crisper, details could be seen. So it actually impacts in terms of their visual impairment. Now they could actually be at risk because when you're myopic, you know, as Ms. Carter would have mentioned, is that the child is predisposed to the length of that eyeball is going to grow longer and longer. That means to say that the retina is going to get thinner and thinner at the back of the eye. So that leaves them at risk of developing things like retinal detachments at an earlier age. So, you know, so for example, if your child is telling you, I'm seeing a lot of things floating around in my vision or flashes of light, then that's a medical emergency. Then bring the child in to come and see us, you know. They could even be at a higher risk of developing glaucoma. So glaucoma not only affects the older folks, but it also could affect the younger population as well. And that's something, it's called juvenile glaucoma. We do see a couple of cases of this if they have a family history of it. They could also develop cataracts as well. That's where the natural lens of the eye can become cloudy and causing visual problems. So there are a couple of different things that, you know, it does impact the vision and that actual overall health of the child and well-being. And, you know, you don't want your child to sit in a class and, you know, they're crying or they don't want to go to school or they're complaining of headaches or, you know, we want to increase their quality of life.
Yeah.
And that's what coming to have their eyes tested, that's what it's going to do for them.
I think it's also really good to to just be present and pay attention. I know some parents might just be busy, they're working and all those things. But kids, I think they just don't know how to communicate sometimes. Okay, mommy, I'm not seeing, or those things. We really have to look out for the signs as well, such as going close to the TV, the squinting, and all those signs that Mr. Lack would have mentioned before.
That's great, and I absolutely agree. But how exactly does that myopia develop and progress over time, especially going through childhood to adolescence?
So myopia usually develops during childhood, typically between the ages of 6 and 12. So during this time, the eyeball will get a bit longer, causing the light rays to focus in front of the retina instead of directly on it. So genetics and environmental factors will play a crucial role in this process. It also tends to progress during adolescence. Now, the rate of this progression will vary among different individuals, and the factors that would play a role would be hormonal changes, as we said, increased or excessive near work, less time outdoors, and all those things as well. There's also cases where if there's extremely high myopia, as Priscilla would have mentioned, there's a lot more risk factors in terms of getting a retinal detachment, glaucoma, and all sorts of vision-threatening complications with that. So it's very, very, very important for us to try and take action, for us to make the public aware about myopia and how we can move forward in managing the problem.
And how important is it to have that myopia detected?
It's actually really important. It's extremely, extremely important. And we see it on a daily basis with patients that walk through our door. We actually have an increased percentage of younger children coming in, and it's starting from the age of probably 3 years in the startup.
Yeah,
all the way going up. So early detection of myopia through routine eye examinations is very important for us to actually be able to manage it. Because, like, for example, as the child gets older and older, we have a critical period, a critical window, and that is up to, like, age 9. So, for example, like, let's just say if we have a 3-year-old and they have, like, maybe 4 diopters of myopia or short-sightedness, and then they come back at age 5 or age 6 or something like that, and they have a lower amount or grander amount, then it kind of involves as us, the optometrists, we are able to understand and try to see to take the necessary steps available to try to manage that short-sightedness, how much we can try to slow down the progression of the myopia. Unfortunately, we cannot stop it and we cannot reverse it, but we can slow it down, and that's by taking the necessary steps. So, like, for example, you know, you send your kids outside for at least 2 hours a day. They need that sunlight. That sunlight is crucial for the development of the eye. You limit their screen time. So what I like to tell parents is, yes, they might have a maximum of 1 hour to 2 hours, but you give them like a 30 minute or 20 minutes, then you send them outside, or, you know, you let them look at some television. So it's not all near work or not all device work only, but, you know, they need to experience that life outside or within a room space. So it's very, very important for kids to have regular eye examinations. Usually, if in the event that, depending on how quickly that child progresses with the short-sightedness, we as the other, you know, we want to see them back within 6 months or 3 months or within 12 months. So it's important and imperative that parents bring their kids in to have their eyes tested.
And on that note of children having their eyes tested, what age should children start having those regular eye exams?
At least, I would say at least 3 years old, when they can detect like letters or shapes and so. At Dalton Brown, we have a lot of different ways of interacting with the child and testing them. So it all depends, but I would say about 3 years and above.
Okay, and back to myopia, how How do you and how do the parents manage and control that myopia progression in a child?
So managing and controlling the myopia progression involves a combination of lifestyle modifications, optical interventions, and in some cases, pharmacological interventions. So as Mr. Luck would have mentioned, spending more time outdoors. So try to encourage the kids and the adolescents to spend more time outdoors, especially during daylight hours, right? The sunlight is very important as it can help slow down myopia progression and even reduce its risks by stimulating the release of dopamine in the retina, which helps to regulate the eye growth, because that's the goal of it. We want to try to help regulate or slow down the eye growth, because as the eyeball grows longer, then that means the prescription or the myopia gets worse. We also want to reduce the screen time, as she would have mentioned, so at least 2 hours per day. With breaks in between. Other optical interventions would be things such as multifocal contact lenses, autokeratology contact lenses, which are like a hard contact lens, as well as prescription eyeglasses with specific lens designs. All of these, their mechanism of action is really by controlling the peripheral, the focus, and modifying the pattern of the light entering the eyes, which again helps regulate that eye growth. And then the pharmacological interventions would be low doses of atropine eye drops. This will be done by the ophthalmologist, where how the medication works, it dilates the pupil and temporarily paralyzes the accommodation, and it has shown promising results in slowing the progression of the myopia.
So
just
to add to what Ms. Carter would have mentioned, is that all of these options are available at Dalton Brown. So we do specialize pediatric testings on these children, and we do have these lenses and contact lenses available. So for example, we have mirrorless lenses available as one of the spectacle lens designs to be able to help create that defocus that Ms. Carter would have mentioned, to kind of control how quickly that length of the eyeball is working. So we do have all of those options here.
Okay, and just for any parents that may be listening, if myopia is left untreated and left to progress, what are the complications that these children may face later on in life?
Well, basically they're gonna have reduced vision, you know, that a type of vision, like sometimes, for example, if left unattended for quite a period of time, you know, as opposed to the child wearing glasses at an earlier age and getting 20/20 vision, sometimes when these children do come in later on, they're unable to achieve that 20/20 vision. You know, sometimes bringing them to that point is a little bit difficult, but we try our very best with them. You know, that development of that eye, it as time goes on, you know, they get higher risk of developing ocular conditions in the eye, as we would have mentioned previously. So you don't want to leave it unattended, because then the child is going to become very frustrated. They're going to be affected in terms of their quality of life, their education. Is, you know, the world has so much beautiful things to see. And, you know, your child, I mean, like some parents, they come in and they become quite emotional when they see that, you know, their children could not see, you know. So it's very life-changing. And I would definitely recommend that parents, grandparents, guardians, or whoever may have kids or grandkids, to bring these children in. And, you know, talk to the teacher, because they are the point of contact at school. They are the caregivers at the end of the day. And sometimes they are the ones who do send these children to come and have their eyes tested, because mommy and daddy probably working overtime, or granny or grandpa just giving them the devices, and they're not really understanding why they are holding these devices very close to the face. Or, you know, why are they going close to the television? Or why are they crying a lot of the time or squinting? So these are the signs that you want to look out for.
Also, if they come at a very late stage, as you would have mentioned, sometimes they're not even able to fully adapt to the prescription, which makes it very difficult on their end as well. Or sometimes the vision as Ms. Silla would have mentioned, is not even fully corrected to that 2020. The eyes would have just become so accustomed or adapted to that bit of vision that they could have seen before. So it's still even very reduced with the correction.
We have seen a couple instances where, like, if they are not getting corrected for glasses, like sometimes the signal of one of the eye tends to, it might either turn out or things like that.
So that's how you get the eye tunes and whatnot as well, because you're not getting that correction to stimulate that proper vision in the eye. So it becomes weakened. Sometimes you get those eye tunes as well.
Thank you guys for giving us a very informative and enlightening topic to think about, especially for the parents and even the teachers out there. Is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know as it pertains to Myopia Awareness Week?
Just the regular testing, look out for the signs. The signs are very important because, as we said, sometimes kids are just not able to communicate what it is they're actually experiencing. So just really look out for the signs and then book the exam and we'll take over from there.
It's like a simple thing, like, you know, if you have kids and they're missing letters or they're mixing up letters from a B to a D or little things like that, you know, you could bring them in and just we will be able to like take a look and see what's going on. Maybe colors as well. We do color vision testing here on all our pediatric patients, especially the boys. That is very, very important to be able to detect whether they have that color vision or not. So it's a lot of things to bear in mind, and we definitely urge everyone to contact us. You can give us a call at 667-3115 or 299-3115, or just come and visit us at our office at corner of Queen and Susanna Street in Arima.
Also, one more thing. So, like, those parents who think their kids have problems, learning or they're writing stuff wrong from the board and whatnot, and they come in and they can't respond or we're not getting much responses from them, we would do a different type of test to get a proper prescription for them. And sometimes, even if they actually don't have a prescription, then we pick up is actually something else wrong with the child. So maybe they have like some sort of issues.
Disability.
Yeah.
Sometimes they may be dyslexic or things like that. We can determine all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. All right, guys. Thank you guys for enlightening us.
Thank you so much, guys. Have yourself a great day. All right. So as we have a few minutes to continue, to conclude the lunchtime doctor this afternoon, we continue our discussions here with Dr. Brittany Dean. Of course, you can send those questions to me at 343-1061. Dean, we have a question here. Very interesting and educational program. I am enjoying it. Another one is asking if you can clarify once again, what is myopia?
Do we still have the...
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Right, so they wanted to ask you, what is myopia?
Sure. So myopia is a refractive eye condition where you are able to see things clearly close up, but in the distance, it's very blurry. And that's really due to the length of the eyeball, where the refractive rays focus in front of the retina instead of directly on it. So basically, in short terms, it's blurry distance vision, but close up is clear.
Okay. And how does one, again, finally counteract this?
So there are different options. We could do tested glasses or even contact lenses. It really depends on how extensive the condition is as well to know which treatment option or management option would work best for them.
I'm glad I have you on the line because one of the questions I wanted to ask was when it comes to contact lenses, is that a one and done or is it something that has to be changed over a period of time?
Yes, it is something that, well, it depends. So we would test regularly, and depending on the changes, we will know if it's stable or if we need to update the prescription on the contact lenses.
Yeah, but then also differs as well on the patients and what type of needs that they need these contact lenses for. So whether they need it for maybe if they have advanced keratoconus or so things like that, or if they just need it because they want to go out on social occasions. So there are different modalities or different types of contact lenses that could be prescribed for them. So like, for example, whether it's a daily lens or if it's a bi-weekly lens or a monthly lens, it all based on the needs of the patient as well as the prescription when we do the specialized testing on the patients.
So contact lenses is something that has changed every day, every fortnight, every month. I was told recently it's every month you must buy a fresh set.
Well, it depends on the type that they would have prescribed for you. So if it's that you're changing it every month, then that means it's a monthly lens that you got. If you have a daily disposable, like let's say you're putting them on to go out to a party or whatnot, once you open the package and you put it on, after that, when you're taking it off, you're just throwing it away. So that's one, that's a daily use. And then the bi-weeklies, let's say you open it today, it doesn't matter how many times you use it. If you open it today, 2 weeks from today, it will expire. So it really depends on the type that they would have prescribed for you.
All right, and moving forward, very quickly, we have about 3 minutes or less to really wrap up these questions as we have you on the line. One message came in as to how often should one check their eyes?
It all depends. So preferably every year or to every 2 years. Please don't extend that. Like for example, in diabetic patients, patients who have like cataracts in the eyes or who have glaucoma in the eyes, we'd want to see them on a yearly basis. As opposed to healthy individuals, everybody, like they are fine, then it would be every 2 years.
Sometimes for the kids as well, depending on the type of prescription they have, we may do every 6 months as well to monitor any increases or changes in that prescription.
All right. With that being said, I want to thank you guys, Dalton Brown, optometrist, for being a part of the show, The Lunchtime Doctor, today. It has been a pleasure chatting with you all. And we do wish you guys a very safe and productive day ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Dr. Dean, in conclusion, this, you know, it's always a pleasure when you and I bounce together. Of course, we want to thank all those listening to us on our sister station, Freedom 106.5. I'm in Sangeet Studios at the moment, guys, in case you're wondering. That's why I'm saying sister. But it's Freedom, Sangeet, and of course Sky 99.5 FM. We are just about 2 minutes out from 1 o'clock. Dr. Dean, in wrapping up this afternoon, how can one take care of their health in general to ensure that they keep away diseases such as the common cold and other, you know, diseases that may harm our bodies?
So I look at health holistically. So it's not just about things that happen to us physically. Everything is intertwined. So you have to look at what are you doing on a daily basis that is going to contribute towards your long-term health. And these things need to be consistent. So healthy eating. So we always talk about the whole foods, you know, are limiting the processed and the refined carbohydrates and the refined foods, and sticking to what we know is healthy, like our fruits, our vegetables, everything in balance. And of course, exercising. Having a sedentary lifestyle actually puts you at risk for a lot of different diseases. So even if you are eating very healthy, but you are not moving your body, you're still putting yourself at risk. And of course, our sleep is also very important. When we sleep, that is how our body regenerates and rejuvenates itself. So getting that proper 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night is going to be crucial. And stress management, we tend to neglect stress as well. And this is very important because stress really raises our cortisol and also causes inflammation throughout the body. And we have seen that even if you are doing everything correct, but you have high amounts of stress, you can still put yourself at risk for many different diseases.
All right. Thank you so much, Doc. We are out of time, and we do appreciate you for being with us every Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So catch you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great one.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.